Welcome to Queens Talk with AJ. We are two magical black queens from the A, college roomies turned cousins. Join us as we unpack truth, lies, and all in between.
We give all the millennial depth, culture, and lessons. This ain't no girl talk. This is queen talk. And we are hosts. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Ayana.
You know what it is.
Period.
Bitches done showed up and glowed up.
Listen.
Oh,
I have been seeing this song everywhere, girl. It's for a Nollywood film.
Really?
It's from 2010. It's called White Hunters. Kari and I watched it. First off, there are several parts. I don't know what it was going on, girl. Like, the main character basically was pimping. She had several husbands. Oh. And like,
okay.
They're called White Hunters. They're looking for the whiteys. They weren't giving any black men any play. And it was about trying to get a bag. And this girl had found her.
This is a Nollywood movie?
Nollywood film. She had found a French man, married him. Girl, her friend was like, introduce me to his friends. The girl wouldn't do it. She kikiing, got her jewelry on. And so the friend was like, what's your problem? Why can't you introduce me? Like, I'm trying to get put on.
Oh my God.
So this black man tried to talk to her. She was like, I don't want you. Like,
oh my God.
Girl, a whitey, a whitey. That is a catchy song though. And they play the song throughout the whole film, girl. There's no other
song. That's why it's just playing in your head.
You know how like John Legend was and Think Like a Man? Like they just kill the music over and over. That's exactly what they do. There's no other like suspenseful music or like.
I'm done. Bruh. Jordan popped us off with crazy. A white tee. It was a jig. He was
no older, though. It's called White Hunters. Look it up on YouTube. There's several parts. Get entertained.
Wow. Well. What it do?
What it do, cuz?
What it do? Ooh.
Wow. Ooh.
Y'all, we've been popped off with the white tee. Quickly gonna take a turn from there.
Going to the Blackies.
Oh
Lord, that didn't sound very good. Please don't cancel me. I'm for the people.
We really be like, don't cancel me. Like, we have to say that like ahead of time, like, or after the fact, we be like, don't cancel us. Please don't cancel us.
Oh my gosh. Listen.
We don't want no videos to age.
I'm for the black people. Okay. Oh my God.
Oh man.
I be seeing, I'm like, what made them like that Tiffany Haddish debacle with, what was that man's name?
I forgot
something
his name.
Spears, Aries Spears.
I ain't seen her since for real.
That didn't age well. Well, I saw her when she was yelling on Shakira's name at the VMAs. You didn't see that?
That's it?
She was backstage yelling her name.
Okay, like, that's the only drunk. Time I see her.
Oh, yeah. She was in the Haunted Mansion movie.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. It was all right.
Darn.
Spooky season's over now. Now it's time to grub.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Whoa, hey. I know you did not just skip Thanksgiving.
Girl, I said Merry
I got green
Christmas.
Beans, medicine.
Jordan said it's time to eat.
Yeah, it's time to eat. I'm sorry.
Jordan said I'm about to eat.
Yo, Thanksgiving is that girl, okay? Christmas is so mid now.
Christmas is the mid, but I still enjoy, like, I guess the decorating and stuff like that.
So this year I'm going to make sure for Christmas to put up my stuff early because.
Okay, so you can enjoy it.
When you wait till like December 15th, you're not in the Christmas
mood. That's not enough time. Somebody was just saying that they put theirs up. They're putting it up this weekend because if they don't, they won't have time to truly enjoy it.
Thought about putting up Christmas stuff early, but I was like, is that doing too much?
Girl, I mean, spooky season has ended. Thanksgiving don't have no decorations for real.
Yeah, as cold as it was this week, shoot.
Girl, I think we're about to have a cold winter.
Brisk.
Yeah. Thank God it was warm at One Music Fest, honestly. Like, because...
Okay, but girl, it was a little too warm. Day one, I was like, oh,
A whopping 81
I literally
degrees.
Went to Target the next day to find clothes.
Yeah, when you told me you ordered for shorts, I was like, oh, shoot. They're charging outside.
I was like, wow. And I put up all my summer clothes, girl. I only have winter clothes in my closet. Well, you know, fall.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, it's really hot. And there's like really no trees out there.
Dang.
You're right. Yeah, we went to one music fest, y'all. And Ayana and I, we didn't get the pleasure of being together, but we did see each other like beforehand and during on the second day for just a little spill.
Yeah.
So how did you like, how do you feel like about like the lineups? Who's your favorite?
Okay. So overall, I enjoy One Music Fest. Like, but I'm starting to, okay, let me tell you who my favorite, before I give you any critique. Let me tell you this. It's the Wine Glass. It's the Wine Glass. You just put it up so with so much class.
They always be like, Jordy, you're so regal. I don't be, that must be my mama, bro. That's I don't know where that comes from.
Okay, so my favorite artist at One Music Fest was none other than Megan Thee Stallion.
Ooh.
Megan Thee Stallion, okay? She does not come to play with you. She does not disappoint. And the body is given what the body was supposed to give, okay?
Wow. I wish I could have saw you. I know you was... Were you turned to...
Off. Going off, okay? Babe, I know... I don't know every word, because you know.
No,
but
me either.
I knew lots of words. Lots of dances. The only thing that was stopping me is I was standing on a heel, girl.
Oh.
And I was, like, actually sliding. Like, we were standing on the hill. A lot of people on that same hill.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't fall, bro, because...
Girl, my feet was hurting so bad because I was gripping. Trying to hold
Yo.
Trying to hold on for dear life.
You was trying to be 10 toes down. Girl, you know, that's funny. So, okay. So, Kareem and I were, like, we were decently close because we went an hour ahead of time before everybody went to go stand over there.
Makes sense.
For, like, 45 minutes. So, we were, like, by these rails, and it looked like somebody was going to come down and walk through them.
Oh, wow.
Girl, as the minutes were counting down, I was like, if Megan walks through here, I'm going to lose my mind.
You're going to lose it.
But then she popped up on stage, so I was like, whatever.
Okay.
But I say that to say the cameraman girl. The cameramen were all up in VIP, like, in our face, girl. And I just happened to be on the rails a couple times, more so for support. Physical support. But girl, the way they tried to catch me when I would get hyped but not know the words, I know the part.
You excited girl, for the verse.
I got so turned. Cameraman zoomed in, girl. My lips went. I didn't know it. He was like, bruh, cue out. Let me find another person. That's funny when you said that, by the way.
I thought I had one.
Yeah, sorry,
that's what
bruh.
They said, bruh.
Nah, y'all got to put the lyrics up there on the screen if you want me to.
Megan really did her thing, but you know, I really had to represent for the A. And, girl, that Waka, T.I.
Oh, my God. Were they good, girl?
Gorilla Grills, DJ Drama Nails. Baby, they didn't disappoint me.
Oh, my God.
The only
God.
Thing that disappointed me was that Too Short had like a 30-minute set.
Girl.
I was like, please sit down.
We were on the hill by the One Music Fest sign. It was so dark. And we could not make it. We couldn't even make it to VIP for that stage because it was so many people. Like, and it was dark.
It was crazy because it was. That's one thing I really want to recommend. I liked it being in Piedmont Park, actually. But I did not like how they didn't have no lights in the walkways. They didn't have no lights. Even, like, in the area. Like, you could turn them off. But, like, when it got dark, it was dark as fuck.
Like, I had to have my flashlight on, like.
Yeah,
to walk through. Just to make sure I didn't trip on a branch.
Girl, they was being wild. They were definitely being wild. So
I was torn. So the thing is, I missed everyone. I missed Tim's, I missed Brent, and I missed Waka. It was so devastating for us. But literally, so we ended up not meeting y'all because we were still in food. We were still in line trying to get food. It probably took us that whole hour. And by the time we got it, like, everybody had started. Because everybody started basically at 7. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, what do we do? And so we were closest to the DJ Drama set. So we kind of went and sat on the hill. and was listening, but girl, all we heard was Too Short. So then we packed our bags just in time before Kendrick came. And so Brent was over. Yeah. So that was very hard to digest, girl. I was in the shower and Brent came on. Bitch, I had to turn it off. Oh, that's when I knew I was salty.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but that, okay, it's all good.
We're going to catch him in an intimate setting because I did want to see Brent too.
Yeah.
We're going to catch him in an intimate setting.
Because... I was like, you know so many of Brent. Like, since Gang Over Love, you've been involved with this man. Like, I don't know about anything about... Right. I don't know anything about him being with Sonder. I wasn't really tapped into him in the R&B group.
Yeah.
But him as a solo artist?
That's true.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So your favorite was Megan. Okay.
Was definitely Megan. And of course, I love the, like, walk of them... said, like I said, Too Short was definitely too long. And I didn't really, like, I'm not gonna hold you, like, I really didn't know Too Short was from the West Coast.
For real?
Girl, that's what Ife said. She was like, really? I'm like, I'm sorry, I really did not know.
And I think he a Crip, because I've only seen him in blue. I'm dead ass. I'm
I was sad. Not expecting that.
I know.
I definitely had no idea, no, but he was really, like, he played his three bounce that ass songs. And I thought that nigga was from the South. Then he started saying the West Coast. And I was like, oh my God, that nigga really from Cali.
Girl, he was wild on the mic, too. He was like, sorry, y'all. This is going to be PG. Well, not PG, rated R. Turn it down.
I'm about to add a beep.
But he was like, hey, we trying to get our suck tonight. Where the ladies at? And I'm like.
I don't even remember that, bro.
I do.
Somebody said when he was saying, what's my favorite word? Bitch. And then he did something. He was like, B, 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 B. And the guy in front of me was like, whoa, this is too much. Like, I was like, I know. Me and Ebony both was like, whoa. Like, it was just a lot. So
it's crazy, too, when you grow up listening to all the, like, parental, not parental advisory, but, like, the edited versions.
Yeah.
And then you go see some of these artists and they do, like, the unedited. You'd be like, oh, shoot, like.
Like, this
I
is
really
harsh.
Was a square nigga at one time.
This is harsh.
Yeah, he was bitching all over the world, nigga.
Yeah,
like,
he was.
That was crazy.
I was like, damn, girl, but.
My favorite was Janet.
Okay, I was about to ask you. Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, when I saw this festival, I think it was really her, Megan, and Brent that sold me. And then I saw Tim's too. But I knew that I had to see Janet, and she did not disappoint. Like, there's a lot of her music I didn't know. I knew probably 50%.
Wow.
I heard at least once.
I probably knew 20.
Yeah.
I enjoyed because her she performance. Was doing... Like mm-hmm. I said, like, she's an icon. So I enjoyed it. I'm grateful to have seen it, but I couldn't sing along, and that kind of makes the performance when you can sing along. Like, I was kind of like, oh.
You know, the first time I saw J. Cole, I did not know his music like that. Oh, disappointing.
Wow. She like she was in a straight jacket too.
Yo, let me tell you, somebody beside
why was she
me
dressed like that?
You know, she kept going kind of behind the scenes a minute. Somebody was like, yeah, take some of those layers off. Girl, she came right back out with autumn layers on.
Yes. I just knew when she first came out, I was like, okay, she got on a okay. That's how they do. They come fully clothed and they start. And when she came, like, I don't
start
know, one
getting
point,
nude.
At one point, I was like, she's still wearing the same thing.
I think maybe it has something to do with the Super Bowl. Maybe it's trauma.
Oh, ever since then, maybe. I mean, you could really be right.
Dang. You but also, she's had a lot of body dysmorphia, too. I mean, I think she looked great, but who knows? Girl. Yeah, great time. Me and Yance have to be together next time, though. Like, that will not happen again.
Yes. Next time, VIP will be
VIP shotties.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, One Music Fest was amazing. Truly, it was amazing. So speaking of One Music Fest, y'all, Lord have mercy. The Keith Lee food critic of social media came to The Atlanta and did a series of reviews on multiple restaurants throughout the city. Some that we've heard of, some that we have not heard of. And he gave his honest review. And in most of the reviews, the food was good. He gave a review that the food was pretty good. So not that we don't have good food, but it kind of sparked a lot of conversation behind Atlanta and where it's going and where we used to be. And y'all know I love my city. I rep very hard, like all the time, 10 toes down. But in this, to this point, I cannot disagree with what the talk is talking. Like, I cannot disagree. Like, for example, Keith Lee said he came and he was trying to call because, you know, he does to-go orders and he does a review in the car. And so he came and he was calling, like, several different restaurants and several of them said, oh, we don't do takeout orders. Go to DoorDash or whatever, whatever. He went and he still couldn't place an online order. So it's like, okay, you call, you say you take to-go orders, and then you actually don't take to-go orders.
I don't understand that, though, because it's still a takeout order.
Well, they don't take any orders over the phone. They don't take any orders over the phone, and then you get there, and you can get it to go.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to understand how restaurants that only have to-go don't take to-go orders over the phone. Make it make sense. You know, we've been accepting a lot of these things as normal, although we know
it's been accepting it.
Yeah, like we know it's weird, but we just accept it. And you know what's crazy? At One Music Fest, there was a couple next to us, and they're from DC. They came from DC for this festival. And I don't know people, I mean, I guess I'm from here, so maybe I just thought it was just a local thing. But anyway, people, they were here for the festival, and they were asking, like, oh my God, I'm trying to find the good food here. So I find it very ironic that this is even happening. But they were like, I'm trying to find the good food. And I'm like, dang.
It's so subjective.
I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm from here. And I couldn't give them no suggestion.
Ooh.
Like, it's several places that I've been and I've had decent experiences. But also, maybe in my head, I've been in DC and I know how bomb their food is. And I could not give them anything that could compare to that.
Yeah.
So I just was like, I don't know.
I'm always finicky about taking, like, referrals when it comes to restaurants because everyone's taste is kind of objective. Like, it just depends
right.
on your vibe. Like,
you're right.
But that is so real. And I was just thinking, like, one of my favorite Atlanta restaurants got closed down. I think there was, like, a shooting, actually.
Oh.
But it was called What's Crackin', and it was a seafood spot, and it was
closed.
I think they're closed. They might, if they're still open, I need to go.
Dang, I've never been there.
But I was gonna say, like, we were mentally prepared when we pulled up to stand in line for an hour. They were understaffed, and everybody was just prepared for it. And like my grandma always says, because she would just sit in the car, we go in and wait. And she'd always say, man, but people couldn't even get inside their car. They couldn't even pull off without just tasting a piece of the food.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the food is good enough, but some of these restaurants, the food is not good enough for them to be doing all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm like, if it's good enough, is it worth waiting for? Or you going know, through all the
I guess I feel like
the hurdles.
Why are we waiting so long? Like, are we waiting?
Because these people are understaffed. They're taking okay, all the money. They don't want to pay people.
Okay, that's what it is.
I really think it's just them being understaffed.
Because, yeah, the restaurant can be packed, but the restaurant being packed and you being staffed enough to cover it is different than the restaurant being packed and that's why we're waiting for 2 hours.
You know, there's a show called The Bear on Hulu, and it's about just like the behind the scenes of a restaurant. And there's so much that goes into the prepping of the food and it actually getting out to people in a timely manner.
Mm.
And you do see that, and it does look very stressful.
Yeah.
But I wonder why people go into the business without maybe, like, just because you can cook, I don't feel like necessarily means you should have a restaurant.
Agreed.
Like I think there's certain preparation that you need as far as, like, how long does it take to cook this meal?
Yeah.
Like, how fast can we cook this and that?
The business aspect to owning a restaurant, like that kind of stuff that you mentioned.
Because it's like, yo, I remember pulling up to a wing spot, me and my friend hungry as hell. Like, this was just like a month ago. I've been seeing this wing spot on Instagram. It's in East Point. Pulled up, they was closed. That shit is annoying when you got your mouth ready.
They talked about that too.
But you know what I mean? It is like,
Yeah.
Then I gotta find somewhere else to eat, and that's not what I was.
Yeah, they talked about that too. So in response to Keith Lee and his reviews and what everybody was saying, Cardi B even chimed in and was like, eating in Atlanta is an event, and I felt her.
Restaurants, they don't like to make money. I feel like they don't like people. They don't like their customers. They just don't fucking like it. First thing first, right? You could barely order in Atlanta restaurants. Like, you go like, hey, I would like to make an order. Oh, yeah, we don't take orders. It gets to the point that I literally have to name, like, I have to tell, like, people that order food for me, like, can you just name drop my name? Because first and first, they don't do no pickup orders. They don't do deliveries. They just don't do shit. Second, Atlanta restaurants, right? They be closed on the most random shits. Like, it's like, you look at a restaurant, you go looking for a restaurant on Google, and it's like, oh, this shit look good. Oh, they closed. What is that? What do you mean? Y'all niggas is closed Monday through Wednesday? Or they'll just have the most random days closed. Like, oh, they close on Tuesday. Or, like, it's just the most random shit. Like, it's like.
So, I felt her, like, that. And then that Wednesday through, that Monday through Wednesday closed stuff. When did y'all start that and why?
Is that really like a thing?
Girl.
I thought she was over exaggerating.
No, ma'am.
Oh, my.
There's a restaurant that just opened on Cascade Road down the street from my house. And this restaurant does not open Monday through Wednesday. They open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think they're actually closed on Sunday. And then the hours differ.
They might got a part-time job, bruh. They might got another job that they doing. And it's part-time. And then
I don't get it, though. You opened a restaurant as a business. Like, but why are the hours so weird? Like, why are the date? Why? That's weird. Also, I don't want to say, but there's a restaurant also near my house on the other end of Cascade. They sell fried chicken and they're open. They're very sometime. Like, they will put on their story, oh, we closed today. We don't feel like opening. Like, we just want to have a good time. Or, oh, y'all, telling us to come to their house. They like, oh, pull up today, y'all. We got a special for y'all. Come see us. You know, auntie in the
kitchen.
How
are they paying, like, their bills? That's what I want to know.
It must be just them in there. Just the fam. It's crazy.
That's a sign for me, because that's all I got on that. It's like, I'm very perplexed.
So I definitely understood this entire, like, all of this conversation. Like, and we, like we said, like, we accept it as normal, but it's really not normal, and it's really not okay. And I think it has taken Atlanta, or this is part of Atlanta coming to a place of just, like, people come here to make money. Like, it has turned into that, like, that whole, like, Atlanta Wood, the Hollywood, the movies. Like, it just turned into something else. And, like, it's not the Atlanta that we used to know. Like, there was a post that I saw that me and Jordan saw. Jordan, I think Jordan sent to me. And it was talking about the shift that Atlanta has gone through. And it's just like, I mean, it's not. I'm trying to pull it up right now. I'm sorry, y'all. But it's not telling no lies. This is all truth. And
can I read this one slide?
Yeah.
This is from, his name is I Am King Williams. He did a whole post on Atlanta and why it's important for people like Keith Lee to bring this, like, these facts up.
Yeah.
So he said, Atlanta has real structural problems that aid in people going to the same bad places. And here are some points he made. Lack of easily accessible and walking districts, especially with Black businesses. Hella true. Okay. And that's a big problem for me. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of these places don't even have parking.
Parking.
You damn near get told you got an Uber. So it's like, imagine Uber somewhere and they close. Crazy. Then it says suburban sprawl designs mean you have to drive everywhere, which Atlanta is really not built for driving.
There's we walkable all know that. Neighborhoods, but there's Atlanta as a whole is not like a walkable city.
It's not. And then the last thing he said really stuck with me. We've regulated and shut down Black nightlife. And he was saying, so now every new place has to be three places in one. Restaurant, club, and a lounge. 20 years ago, these were three different venues. Mm-hmm. And he also said, if you want to see something interesting, look at how many liquor license and beer and wine permits were issued over the last 10 years in Atlanta for Black businesses. So what I'm hearing is that it's also a lot for Black businesses. Like, they've made it harder where they have to have all this license and things of that nature. But then two, like you said, your place has to be three places in one. I don't want to go to a restaurant and feel like I can't talk to whoever I'm with.
It's so loud because they're so busy trying to keep up a vibe.
My insides are vibrating to the music.
Yeah.
It's that loud.
Mm-hmm. I've experienced that.
And then it's like hookah, it's people smoking. Good. Like, I don't necessarily like to eat with smoke. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm in like a club and I just happen to be hungry, I mean, I guess you kind of got to deal with it. But it's just like, it's too much.
I just want them to pick a vibe. Like, pick a vibe. Like, please be a vibe. Be a lounge or be a club. I definitely feel like lounge and club is different, but they have completely mixed restaurant into it. Because a lot of them are kind of like, oh, it's a restaurant. But then after 11, we turn into a lounge. So you can still eat and order food. But it's like, I mean, yeah, but you're more so a restaurant.
I really just want to pick up my food, though.
Yeah, like, so, I don't know. I mean, I definitely felt this post, and also they kind of even mentioned how Edgewood, I'm trying to find the slide.
Ooh.
But they even mentioned, like, he even mentioned in his post how Edgewood used to be, like, the place.
Poppin'.
Like, it was one of the places he mentioned. How it used to be popping. Edgewood was a vibe.
And, like, really used to wonder what happened. Yes. We used to be at Edgewood all the time. Like, yes,
they would close the streets because it was so lit.
It was so many people. You'd be in the street having a good time.
What year was that, Jordan? If you, what era would you say it was? Like, if you never experienced
maybe like
Edgewood
20,
between 20, what?
2014 to 2017?
Okay. 20, I'll push it to 2018.
Okay.
So 2014, 15 to 2018, then you did not experience real Edgewood. And I'm telling you that. Like, anytime after that, you did not experience.
It was flooded.
And as a matter of fact, whenever department, if you don't know the department store, then you ain't ever been to the real Edgewood.
What a time,
Edgewood,
bro.
It used to be like, it had just hella bars up and down the street. They did have some restaurants, but they were restaurants. But, like, the street was even just, like, a vibe. Like, we don't have nowhere to vibe and hang out like that anymore.
Yeah, you got to go to a restaurant with hookah and a loud DJ.
You got to be dressed to the nines. Like Keith Lee said in one of his videos, he was like, oh, I didn't know that in Atlanta to go to brunch, you got to be dressed to the nines. You got to wait 2 hours. And he's speaking facts.
Now, I'm so glad you brought that up. Brunch actually is one of the worst things for me when it comes to Atlanta.
Mm.
Like, oh my God, the wait. Even when me and you went last time, like, we had to really wait.
Yes.
And then it seemed like our waiter was high.
Yeah.
Like, it just was, bruh.
And honestly, like, the best
and the food be okay. It'd be good.
It'd be something.
But
it'd
it's overpriced.
Though. Yeah.
And then sometimes they have the nerve to tax gratuity when it's like, I already waited an hour to get in this bitch. That is crazy.
And Cardi was like, I have to name drop so my food is good. And so
I'm start name dropping serving. Like, I'm Cardi B's assistant.
For real.
But I wonder if they ask for proof. Like, what do you?
How will they know? They will never know.
You still like, that's exactly yes.
Like, and Keith Lee was very specific. He was like, I don't want to name drop. Like, I don't want to come in here. If I come in your restaurant, I'm just trying to eat for real. Like, just regular. He was like, I'm not doing a review on it. And so he was made a video how I guess the entire staff had walked behind him because he left. He wasn't leaving because the food was bad. He was leaving because it was a 2 hour wait, which is fucking ridiculous.
I think I've lost the desire to go out and eat at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just now realizing that, like, I don't know. But then it's sometimes, like, I feel like when you take your food to go, they plan on your top. Like, your food be cold. They give you less of a portion.
I almost hate taking my... If I go to a real restaurant, I hate taking it to go. I'd rather sit down, order it, and then ask for it to go box.
I actually did this. I literally just went to get Mexican. It was so delicious. I went back and got it to go. Not the same.
It shouldn't be like that. But, like, I don't know how to get it. Like, how do we... there's no regulation for this stuff. Like, is this just where we're heading? And
we just have to not show up to these restaurants. Like, when they be unable to shit, don't be like, all right,
don't
I'm
support.
Not waiting in line.
Don't support.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's tricky.
Even in that post, he was saying how, like, everyday Black Atlanta businesses are getting lumped into the Black businesses that came here just to make money. The people who are only open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the people who are only open from 10 to 2. Like, and our businesses, like, our Black owners who are from Atlanta are getting lumped into that when that's two different types of people. Two different businesses.
That's true.
And so that really does suck for our, like, Atlanta Black, like, entrepreneurs.
Are there any Black restaurants you can think of that you really mess with that you feel like... like, be on this shit. Like, can you name any? And this is not to, like, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I mean.
It's not to.
Like, I mean, can I? I mean,
What I will say is I do appreciate when you can at least make reservations because it solidifies. I don't like having to pull up and just kind of see what it is. And I remember when Slutty Vegan first came.
I think that was the start of it. I ain't gonna hold you. I'm sorry. That was the start of it.
Sis not from Atlanta. And I thought she was for the longest.
Right. But that's, I don't think she did it, but definitely the wait outside of her restaurant for hours.
For a vegan burger
It's
good, but it's not worth waiting an hour.
I think she just was, it's a small business. And I think she just blew up in a way she didn't think she would blow up.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to say shout out to Slutty Vegan for sure.
And her husband, that do the Big Days
cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Big Days. He's from Philly. So I'm just like, that's crazy. And he don't even have a restaurant in Philly. We were talking about that at work. We were like, how interesting that he doesn't have a restaurant where he's actually from. I don't understand why people, like, I understand this is like Black Mecca. But you know, that just makes me, I appreciate Keith Lee because there are a lot of TikTokers that, I don't know if they're just trying to do it for influence, but really be gassing these places. Like, I remember wherever I went for my birthday last year, and I remember talking to Cass and Val, and they were like, yeah, we came here before for our friend's birthday. And they were like, it's just overhyped. I wish they would have told me. Of course, they wouldn't do that because it's like my birthday. They're not going to be like, so I totally get it. But like, the food was overpriced.
Yeah.
And then security done messed up with my stuff, child. I just was like, this is a hot mess.
This is a horrible experience. Yeah. I mean,
anyway,
it just sucks.
Yeah, so
Atlanta is not what it used to be, and that hurts me.
Yeah, because people, we fool.
It does hurt me.
If you're not from here, no shade, but don't ask no other people to come down here, bro.
That's how
we are packed.
I feel like that real Atlanta took a back seat around 2017.
When wings start getting high.
Well, you couldn't get a 10-piece for $10 no more.
I knew something was going on, which I think chicken went up like nationwide. But still, COVID, somebody had posted the menu and a 10-piece was like $6, and the way I was sick, I know you lied.
Did COVID do that to us?
I think it was before COVID though.
You know, COVID. We are
COVID is a mother. Y'all gassing off COVID.
Let's talk about it. Thank you. Like, perfect. Okay. COVID is a motherfucker. Let me tell you something. Ever since COVID, everybody got an excuse. Like, okay, I ain't gonna hold you.
Not for them PP loans though.
They going to jail for them now.
So, I know some people, they still haven't went. I'm just like,
ooh, lay low. Lay low because they out to get y'all. But ever since COVID, like, okay, so let's talk about it. We are almost 4 years post COVID, and we are still dealing with COVID protocols. And I'm not talking about masking up in the hospital and like places and things like that. I'm talking about restaurants, businesses. For example, Walmart still in most places is not open past 9 o'clock. Like, they're open. Well, let me not say that. The one in Cascade just changed their hours back to 9. Walmart used to be a 24-hour store.
Yeah.
And then they still have 11, and they have never returned. They said, we're not going back.
I wonder if, and you have mentioned that before. Yeah, I'm just like, what the hell? I wonder if they used to have more problems during that time.
Maybe they can't.
That's when you start seeing people in their pajamas and it's like, we probably shouldn't be here. And people probably steal it.
And they probably still making just as much money. That's the T.
Oh.
They're making just as much money, less hours, less staff. That means they really need more money in their pocket. Yeah.
All right, I want to ask you a question. Do you feel like we're getting played by using self-checkout?
I hate self-checkout.
You hate it?
Mm-hmm. Like, let me tell you something. I used to enjoy self-checkout because I was like, oh my God, I always wanted to be a cashier.
I can skip the line. I got to wait on your slow ass. You got a whole buggy.
I can scan my own stuff. It's so fun. Like, and now I'm like, bruh, why is all 20 of y'all standing around and I'm scanning my own shit?
Oh, now that's a problem. Nah. I ain't seen a lot of that because now that's wild.
Well, everybody's stocking and nobody ringing me up. Or everybody's on a walkie-talkie because they a manager. Or everybody in a money center. Or everybody in customer service and nobody ringing my groceries up.
It sounds like to me.
Self-checkout. And they're only putting more self-checkouts. Please stop with self-checkouts. I'm sorry. Please stop. Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
I'll never forget, Kerry Washington actually put out a show, and it's about her dad getting out of jail and them navigating their relationship. And when he saw that, because you know he'd been in jail, like, damn, they got y'all working for yourselves. And he just bust out laughing. He was like, I cannot believe y'all falling for this shit. Like, y'all really are doing the work.
Yeah.
I'm into the whole robots taking over all the jobs.
Do you like some checkout?
Honestly, when they put that camera on me, no. I'm sounding like a scammer. Hold off. Reverse.
I actually know a girl who be stealing at her big age.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I haven't done it before. But when I do it, it's more so like, for example, if I have a vegetable, I'm going to get organic. But I'm a key in the code for non-organic.
Okay, you're paying for something, though, bitch. This bitch not paying.
Or.
She's going.
Let me stop. Let me tell you, though. I got to tell a story real quick. I was with my friend. And my friend is very much so, like, fuck capitalism. And
for capitalism?
Fuck capitalism.
Oh, I was like, wow, I don't know any of your friends who are for capitalism. Okay.
Oh, hell nah. Them ain't my niggas. And I forgot what they had. I don't know if it was like a big old like thing of Apple. It was something. And they were trying to ring it up as something. I'm sorry. They're trying to ring it up as something cheap. But whatever code they put in ended up being more than what they had. I was like, damn, nigga, you should have just rung it up as bananas.
They definitely played
bananas. Is always the way to go, bro. I ain't trying to put y'all on. Right. It was something that you could weigh. It was something, but it was a little bit more on the pricey side. I don't know if it was like avocados. And whatever put it up here for. I was like, damn, right. You should have put it in bananas, bruh. You fucked up on that one. And then, like, the little person that be walking around and, like, managing had kind of walked over. I think there might have been an issue. I'm like, oh, nah, nigga, I'm getting hot. Like, we got to get up out of here. You better get us arrested over some goddamn veggies. Right. Like, nigga.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, ooh, I think that it's okay that all of us at some point in our lives go against capitalism in a way. I didn't just see a whole bunch of people getting arrested. They had like a truck full of oxtails. I was like, oh, yo.
That's so bad. They had like a car full.
Was it like a routine traffic? It was like a routine traffic stop.
And they just had a car full of oxen.
Them niggas thought they was going to have a good Thanksgiving. I actually felt really bad. Oh, they had packs and packs.
In jail.
Ooh. Yeah. Joseph. Going to jail for meat is... Nah, bro. Like, I do get it. Like, trust me. A good pot roast, but... Oh, my God. Like, that's crazy.
Jordan, please do not make me pee.
Okay, I'm done. Okay.
This girl said, I'm crying.
Damn.
Woo. All right, y'all. So, of course, this is our fake news. So, y'all, we saw a post today on Instagram. And the post is by Tracy Capri. And it says, y'all be talking about marriage is just a piece of paper until they put you in that man obituary as his special friend. I put my daddy girlfriend in there as his loyal companion, like she was a German shepherd.
Okay, I think we just read that. I didn't realize she was the one who typed that in.
Yeah. So when I first read this.
Loyal companion is crazy.
Yeah. When I first read this, my first thought was, damn, that's fucked up.
Because if so
you can acknowledge that that was your dad's girlfriend, I don't know the backstory. So let me leave.
Yeah.
I don't know these people. I don't know the backstory. But just coming off of just me not knowing anything, off rip, my first thought is, damn, that's fucked up. Because you knew that was your dad's girlfriend. I don't know what the girlfriend might have done to you or her or whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like out of respect for your dad, no matter what paper or paper piece of paper they didn't have, for you to just say loyal companion and then make a joke like, oh, like she a German shepherd. Like, I don't even know if this story is true, honestly. I feel like it's kind of fucked up. But on the flip side of that, there's a lot of people who feel like marriage is just a piece of paper. Right. And this is one example of why it's not. You could never list me on nobody's obituary as a loyal companion unless my girlfriend died today. And you still can't mention me as a loyal companion, bruh. Like, it's like, that don't sit well with me.
But also, it's like when people pass, like, why do people decide, I'm going to put on my petty boots? Like, come on now. Like, let these people rest in peace. Like, if you don't like the girlfriend, okay, that's between you and her, but
out of respect for the person,
like, yeah, just go ahead and honor. I mean, I'm not going to lie. As a grown-ass adult, if everyone knows that y'all have been together for years and years and years, and you, even if you put in there as girlfriend, even if she decided not to put loyal companion, it's still tricky.
If she don't put that amount of years, they were together, but...
I'm just saying, you know, but the people of the family will know. Like, yeah, they've been together a long time. They never married.
They've been together 10 years, and she's still his girlfriend. Oh. You can never say that about it either. I'm sorry.
It's giving Jim Jones and Chrissy. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, they still boyfriend and girlfriend, ain't they?
Yeah. Now she's decided that she no longer wants the marriage. Which I can't say that I don't understand, because like if we've been together for this long and you didn't want to marry me, I don't even have any words. That's all I got.
I don't think that she decided she didn't want the marriage. I think she decided that she would rather have them than what she truly wants, which is a husband. I think she decided to settle on Jim Jones instead of settling or marrying a man who wants to be her husband. That's what I think she decided.
Settling is so comfortable. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I want to settle for a sporadic situationship, or like
me and Cree won't let you.
Right. Okay. Yep.
But that shit now.
But I'm saying, like, it is uncomfortable waiting on what you feel like you deserve. And I feel like that's like a conversation that people don't have as often. Mm-hmm. Like, it is uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, like, settling is, it just comes with such a price.
Settling is, let me bring this up, what you just said. You said, like, it just like a situationship. I think that's what you said. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like just, like, having a good time with someone and understanding y'all's boundaries and where y'all lie or don't lie, I feel like that's what's important. In that kind of situation, you're not settling. You're getting exactly what you want.
What you want, okay.
The other person is getting exactly what they want, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You are not making it out to be something that it's not.
Yeah.
And y'all are very clear with the intentions and what the expectations are. So that's why I think a lot of people end up settling and messing up and being confused. And I want to ask him, but I'm scared.
That is, I was just about to say that. Now, my younger self and a lot of women I know, I see them where they see the red flags and they're like, okay, I'm just going to do this though, because when it feels good, it feels good. And like, you're essentially chasing a high. You're chasing that high of, oh, but when this person like does every once a month, like shows me some care or whatever, like that's what I hold on to. That's what I look forward to. But it's like, do you not deserve more than that, than what they're giving you? Are you really satisfied? You know what I mean? That's a tough conversation to have too. And I walked away from my last relationship and I've been single ever since. And I, like, it hasn't been easy, but also it's just like, I don't know. When I look at the relationships that I see, like, my friends in that are healthy, like you, Ree, like some of my other friends I can think of, like, it's reaffirming to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. That's just really tricky. But when it comes to that, I just don't understand. I don't understand why people don't want legality put behind their name, especially if there are children involved. If something happens to you and you don't have any rights to even be in a hospital room because you're not related to the family.
You gotta, paper for situations like that. Like, and that kind of stuff happens. Like, I could easily, like, you can easily be someone's girlfriend, and it could be, I don't know, a year. And something could tragically happen to this person and you won't be allowed in the room. But it's kind of like, okay, that's a different situation than y'all have homes together. Y'all have children together and you have no paperwork that says when this person is in the hospital with a tube down their throat, that you can be the one to make the final decisions.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It really is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And I'm not like just advocating, because marriage really is not for everybody. But yeah, I'm just not saying, like,
if you know it's not for you,
then this is not a party.
Don't try to play the game, please. Yeah, and don't try to pretend.
Don't pretend.
This isn't a sitcom.
Okay.
We need you to really...
Right. But just please understand that, I mean, like, you're... Understand what you are or not getting.
Yeah. That's real.
That's it. You just got to understand it and be okay with it. Like, you got to accept what you are allowing in your life.
And I think I did talk about that, how, like... Like I said last week, our ex Rumi, it really was her boyfriend, but like, that's tough.
And they weren't together for years, but they were young. So it's kind of like, can you really expect them to be married by then? We were in college.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And I'm sorry, but a baby mama is for life. So.
But even still, that person can't make your decisions if they ain't got no paperwork on you.
I mean, they can't. I'm just saying, what are you scared of? If you were to have a baby, I don't understand
that narrative.
I don't understand the fear.
I have a baby, I won't marry you.
I see so many things about how, like, Gen Z is taking their time with, like, relationship and... They're spending more time like single and not having children. And I can't really blame them.
I actually love that about us.
Yeah. We're not Gen Z, but.
No, but I love that about
this. That we're taking our time, that we're on our own timeline. Yes,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, cuz, for helping me.
Yeah.
I appreciate that we're on our own timeline. Nobody can bribe me or make me feel a way about not having no kids or not being married at this age. Nobody.
Yeah, there really is no timeline. Sometimes, like, it's funny. I actually wanted to be married with kids at 26.
Same. I want to be married with kids at 25.
And even now, I'm like, oh, boy, are you ready for that? Like.
In my big age, I'm just happy. Like, do I want marriage? Do I want children? Like, yes.
Yeah.
Are the thoughts more frequent now that I am the age that I am? Yes. But do I regret the life that I lived or that I'm living? No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Man, we still gotta talk about having the couple on, the polygamous couple.
Yes.
I'm still trying to do that because really want to hear their perspective and, you know, just going against the odds, knowing what's for you, like, how does this benefit you? Mm-hmm. Whatever. I mean,
you know what? We gotta talk about that. When we get off of here, we actually gotta have a quick 10-minute chat. We're having a lot of quick 10-minute chats.
Right. For real.
This is only the second segment, and we've been talking for probably 2 hours now.
That's hilarious.
So speaking of, like, healthy relationships and just, like, being legit and committing, you know, I was thinking, and I think, like, now I feel like I'm in a healthy relationship. And I feel
so
like...
So beautiful to see, by the way.
Thank you,
love
guys.
It.
Thank
Damn.
You. Oh, thank you. I think what we do not talk about enough is having a healthy relationship after a toxic mess.
Oh.
Like, actually being able to successfully have a healthy relationship and how hard it is. Because you're really, like, it's the
like,
unknown.
It's like you're still tender and vulnerable.
Right. And not saying that I'm not healed from my past.
Yeah.
Or currently still healing, or not that I want that person at all. But it's just the point of realizing that this particular person is not who the last people were.
Mm.
Like, even though something may feel triggering or familiar, it's not the same person and it's not the same situation. And you have to know how to talk yourself, like, off that ledge. And I think that's it's not a problem that I'm having, but it's just like something
like
that I'm
when you're
dealing
like,
with.
This triggered me from the last person.
Yeah. And
I'm not gonna lie, I really struggle with that. Like,
yeah.
Especially with, oh Lord, these men out here, Lord,
yeah.
They so damn tricky.
I think what's important too is being able to communicate with my partner about that and her being able to communicate with me about it too. Like, because we realize, okay, like right now I'm triggered. Like, what? Like, what's going on? Being able to express the feeling that I'm having, that what is the actual emotion that I'm feeling? But that's a conversation that I'm learning to have in my head, my own self.
Yeah.
Ayana, what emotion are you actually feeling? Okay, now that you've identified that emotion, like, why are you having that? Like, why are you feeling like that? And then addressing, like, and I had that conversation, like, not just in my relationship, because I am truly learning to control my emotions, which is not something I've always done. But, like, I have that conversation about a lot of different things. So that, and then just, like, when it comes to the relationship, then I can address, okay, let me talk to this person about this. Like, let me talk to her and see, like, what the situation is. And she's like very open and willing to communicate with you. And I think that's important in a partner too. Like, and that's when you realize, like, yo, I'm in some healthy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in some shit that can last. Like, this is not a game.
I used to be team shutdown.
That is
what I grew up seeing. Like, that it's like, I don't have anything good to say right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to shut down. And I think I used to do it in, like, in hopes of, like, my partner. It was almost like a punishment too, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm like very much silent treatment.
Yeah. So,
I used to get so frustrated when I wasn't being understood that I would cry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm like, and it's like, no, like, you have to calm down and be able to speak.
Yeah,
like, because when you crying and you like
you're
emotional,
just emotional. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to have your emotions, like, controlled so that you can deliver the message. And you need to find the words. Maybe you need to write it down first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really a thing. Communicating is
important,
and communicating isn't just talking; it's also listening.
Bingo. Because I was about to say that, and when you said it, I was like, yes. Sorry.
Dang. And I actually heard that today, and it hit me a little different than it normally does. You know how you hear stuff, you're like, oh, of course. And I was like, how well do I listen?
Mm-hmm.
I, like, sometimes my mind gets so excited, and I'm sure y'all can tell on the pod, like, Jan's be saying something, then I'd be like, and then, And it's like my mind just be going so fast sometimes.
Yeah. You just gotta say it.
Yes.
I feel you.
So listening is a battle in itself.
Listening is crucial. Because if you're not listening, then you don't even know what your partner just said or your friend just said. Ooh. So you're listening to respond, but you're not listening to receive.
Mm.
And I feel like that's like a difference. Like you have to listen to receive.
That was also in my childish ways.
And understand. Like, yeah. Like I used to be silent treatment. I used to be very much like shut down because I wasn't in a space where I could be heard.
Girl, don't make me. Girl.
So since I didn't feel like I was being heard, I was like, what's the point? And then it was always like, it was some gaslighting going on.
Oh, baby.
In past situations. So it was kind of like, well, you know, remember when? And it was like a flip of the script. And then it was like, I'm the bad guy now because I brought what you're really doing to light. You want to bring up some stuff that is actually not even right. And me, like, just trying to be the best I can be in this relationship. I'm just taking it in and I'm like, okay, you're right. I am doing something wrong. And I'm not saying that I was right all the time, because I am wrong sometimes. Like, yeah, like we all are wrong. We have to be able to take criticism. But
hard, tough.
Yeah. Very much tough. Okay.
Wait a minute. Oh my God.
But we have to be able to do it.
I want to ask you more questions about how you're able to get to that point, because do you think it's just that you and your current partner were ready to not to do the work and to, like, you know, be self-aware and to take the criticism? Because I feel like sometimes when you do come out of a toxic relationship, it can take a while to get that off you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you could really be with somebody that's positive, that's doing the good work. But maybe you're just not there yet. God's still working on you.
Yeah.
So how do you think you navigated that? Because I don't think that's easy.
That's a great question. I think I made a decision to do it. So I realized the past relationships that I had been in were not healthy. And I think I realized why, to some degree. Did I have it all figured out? No. But then I decided that I want to be a better partner. So I decided to work on me, which I'm still doing. And then I decided, like, I want to be a better me, and I want to be a better partner. So I think I just was like, okay, I have to do better. And then not only that, I think my partner creates a space for me to be vulnerable.
Yeah, because if you're with somebody
mm-hmm.
and you make a mistake and they really amplify it, or they're talking down to you, like you have to, it's really important who you choose to be in a relationship with, how they talk to you, how they handle conflict and disagreements. Mm-hmm. Because I have been a witness to relationships where somebody is always having to be the one to be like the peacemaker, or always have to be the one to kind of bite the bullet. And that's just not fair. Like, you need to be able to be called out, and me as well. Like, it needs to be a fair battleground.
And honestly, some of it is how you, like, people always say, it's not about what you say, it's how you say it. That is a fact. That really is a fact. Like, the way you say something to somebody and how they feel about what you said and how you said it is what is going to be, like, that lasting impression, like, on that person.
Right. Because if
that's going to be the impression. Then I'm not going to hear nothing you say. I'm going to wonder why you're yelling. And then I'm going to be ready to yell.
Are you yelling?
If you can yell, I can yell.
Ooh. Like, that used to really just...
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, whoa, I feel like I'm being... And it's like, I can't even have a conversation with you. Your rebuttal is to get angry.
Yeah.
That's not good communication.
Yeah. And I think too, for me, it was like, whenever I felt like I needed to bring something to, like, her attention or something I wanted to talk about, like, the response was so different than what I had gotten before. is that I was like, okay.
You were like, okay. Like,
yeah.
I can express myself. Exactly. Like, I feel seen. I feel heard.
Yes. And it was like,
I had
okay.
the floor.
Yeah. I was like, okay, this is some different shit.
Yeah.
Like,
that's beautiful.
I can't do the same shit that I'm doing. Like, nah.
Like, you should not be dismissed.
Yeah. Exactly.
You should not
gaslit.
Be made to feel like you, like they're the victim when you're just trying to, you know, place your needs and like say, this is what I need from you, or this hurt me. It should not be like a switch. Yeah. Like, this is my time to get my shit off. Yeah. So why are we talking about you right now? So it's not a tick for tack. Ooh, girl, I don't miss none of that. Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
If it is not peace with just me, then
keep it away.
You just gonna have to keep it, because I it's high vibes over here.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I have found this quote, and I don't really know what made me save it, to be honest. Like, I'm reading it now and I'm like, what was my headspace when I saved this quote? But it says, dating someone who has never been loved properly takes so much patience. And I'm not really sure that, like, once, like, I've done the work and I'm intentionally doing the work to be self-aware and call myself out on my shit. But I think that obviously as an individual, you can't see everything. However, I still think I'm at a point where I'm in a position that I want to be with someone who's never been loved properly. That's a lot of work. Like I said, that's a lot of patience. Like, I don't know that I'm in the space to do that, to carry that. Like, I don't think I want to. And I feel like as women, a lot of times we do that. Like, try to be motherly, Superwoman. Nurturing. And it's like, so, but what about my needs? Like, bro, I be seeing stuff on the internet and like, just, you know, men specifically, not all of them, but I remember seeing a video of a man who's just like, I just want to come home and be and feel like I'm appreciated. And that's understood, but it's like, it's a two-way street. What are you doing for your woman to make her want to do that, to want to pour into you? And sometimes it just feels so
anxiety.
Like on demand, expected. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you like,
you gotta
everyone needs to do the work. Yeah. I can't do it for you.
Yeah.
And that's just not my responsibility. Like, if I get with someone and they haven't like worked through at least being self-aware and being able to call themselves out on their shit, I just don't know that that's a party I can turn up in.
So loving someone who has never been loved properly, is that the same thing as coming from like someone who has never been in a healthy relationship?
Well, not necessarily. Because I think some people have like trauma bonds or like relationships that have affected them where they don't realize that that's just how they're used to showing up. And maybe it'll take them to finally get with someone that is able to reciprocate what they bring. It's probably gonna, it may be uncomfortable for them at first. Like, dang, I'm not used to this. Like, what's the catch?
Yeah.
We also like, in not settling, I feel like we can't discourage ourselves when things go right. Like, I've been wondering how I'm gonna react to that. Like, is it gonna be overwhelming, or am I gonna be like willing to like receive it, like open to it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a problem too, child. You got to be ready. You got to be open to receive the reality.
That is like, very true.
You deserve goodness. Some people just be like, that's too good to be true.
You know, I felt like that before.
Really?
Like, damn, this shit too good to be true, bro.
What's the catch?
Right. And not that it's not too good or that it's good. It's just like I was in disbelief.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it truly existed. I'm not saying I have a perfect relationship, because I don't.
But still, from the outside, I can tell that there's intention.
Yes. Is niggas happy? Yes.
And that's what you deserve. And so it's nothing but checks for me.
Thank you.
What can he say? Don't check for me unless you got a check for me. Okay.
Period.
We can just leave it there.
Run it.
The bars.
Run it.
Well, guys, I think that really will conclude today's episode.
Yes. This was fun.
Yeah, this was fun. Oh, you know, voicemail. Y'all said leave us no voicemail. Come on, like, please.
Guys, we want you to leave a voicemail, okay? At this point, leave the voicemail.
Oh, dang, I don't even have the number. You got it?
I'm pulling it right now.
Because, baby, all these videos I took at One Music Fest.
Right now.
Let's see if I find it first. I found it. The number is 470-713-5997.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right, please leave a voicemail. We love y'all. Thank you for listening as always. Peace out.
Peace. In the words of Ayana.
Love and happiness.
Uh-oh.